Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, pets on the naughty list. A holiday, don't eat that. And let's get your pets some exercise. But first, we'll find out if dogs can sense your fear. From Animal Planet. Does my dog know when I'm scared? Imagine you're taking a stroll through a local park. As you turn a corner, you see a dog unaccompanied by his owner. If you have a phobia of dogs, you've got two problems, your own fear and the dog's sense of your fear. You might be feeling overwhelmed, anxious, and inclined to run away in a panic. The dog, picking up on your fear and knowing that he is intimidating you, begins to act aggressively. But is there really anything to worry about if you're not doing anything to threaten the dog? Do dogs have any sense of human emotions? In particular, can they tell when we're scared? Dogs, indeed, can smell fear. When we humans are experiencing stress or fear, we give off a distinct odor that dogs can smell. When you're nervous, adrenaline pumps through your veins and dogs can smell this hormone. Although these smells are undetectable to human noses, dogs' ultra-sensitive snouts can pick them up. While human noses have 6 million receptor sites, a dog's nose can have up to 200 to 300 million. Dogs also can sense fear by reading your body language. If you talk loudly because you're nervous, stare, tense up, or make a jerking body motion, a dog may perceive all these signs as signs of threat. Your own dog may respond differently to your fear than a canine you have never before encountered. For example, your dog might not act aggressively towards you if he senses that you're scared. However, an unfamiliar dog might be more skittish if he picks up on your fear. In addition to fear, dogs can pick up on the more simple human emotions such as happiness and sadness. However, because dogs lack the self-awareness and complex consciousness of humans, some researchers argue that they can't understand or experience comparative emotions such as jealousy or empathy. Other researchers believe that dogs do have simple sets of emotions and can read more complex comparative human emotions. A study by Frederica Range and her colleagues at the University of Vienna and Paul Morris of the University of Portsmouth in England found that dogs experience emotions such as pride and jealousy. Dogs were placed in pairs and given commands to put their paws in the experimenter's hand. One dog in the pair got a treat when he obeyed, and the other did not. After some trials, the unrewarded dog stopped performing the trick or took longer to do it, suggesting envy. However, behaviors may not always be related to understanding emotions. A dog who just has chewed up a new pair of shoes might look guilty or hang his head when you discover the mess. He could behave this way because he's anticipating the punishment to come because of his actions rather than actually understanding of human emotions. So, if a dog really understands emotions, is he simply reading the emotion as a sign of human weakness and acting accordingly? For example, if your dog senses that you're feeling sad or scared when he comes to cuddle you or cuddle with you, is he really trying to comfort you or is he taking advantage of your unhappiness to get a belly rub? Man's best friend is keeping this one a secret. Next, the cat headbutt. What does it mean and why do cats do it? This is by Jane A. Kelly of Catster. Ah, the cat headbutt, a most curious form of cat affection and trust. So why do some cats headbutt? Is cat headbutting the same as head pressing? I don't know about you, but one of my favorite feline gestures is the cat headbutt. My own cat, Tara, headbutts me constantly when she's sitting on top of me, and half of the time she knocks my glasses off my face when she does it. I don't mind the temporary inconvenience because I know what the cat headbutt means. First, what does a cat headbutt look like? The cat headbutt is not when cats stick their heads into another cat's butt, although that could be another amusing definition. When a cat headbutts, she taps her head against you and rubs her cheeks along whatever body part she's near. Cats also headbutt objects like walls, chairs, and furniture. What does the headbutt mean? Cats have scent glands all over their bodies, and they use them to leave marks on objects, including you. According to cat behaviorist Pam Johnson Bennett, cat headbutting is typically used for bonding and social purposes. For the cat to place his face so close to yours and engage in this bonding behavior is quite an act of trust, she says. Johnson Bennett also explained that this behavior is more properly called cat bunting. People often inaccurately think that the cat headbutt is just a means of marking territory, but it's a lot more than that. Scent communication is complex, and while cats do use scent to mark their territory, cat bunting can also be used to create familiarity and show respect. Johnson Bennett also says that headbutting may be attention-seeking behavior, particularly if your cat butts his head against you and then tucks it down or turns it to the side. Do cats headbutt other cats as well as people? Yes. In fact, you'll often see feline friends rub one another with their heads. Not only does it create the colony scent, it helps with bonding as well. It's a measure of deep trust for another cat to put her head so close to one of her feline companions. So if you see your cat headbutt another cat, know that it means that they're buddies. Cat bunting is also seen in wild cats, so it's something that comes to cats naturally through a millennia of evolution. Why do some cats headbutt and others don't? Every cat is different, so don't worry if your cat doesn't headbutt you or her fellow felines. There's a lot of variation in the frequency and intensity of the cat headbutt, and there are tons of other ways that cats show affection. But a warning, don't confuse head pressing with head butting. Head pressing is when a cat presses her head against a wall or a piece of furniture relentlessly, often accompanied by abnormal vocalization or other odd behaviors like circling or disorientation. Cat pressing is a manifestation of a neurological disorder. Specifically, head pressing and the symptoms that go along with it usually are caused by problems with the central nervous system, writes Dr. Eric Barkas. In other words, head pressing occurs when something goes wrong with the brain. So, don't confuse head pressing for head butting. If it's just head butting, enjoy. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call Don't Eat That, from Banfield Pet Hospital. What holiday foods are toxic for your dogs and cats? The holidays can be a stressful time for everyone, often made all the more stressful by pet owners wondering how to best protect their pets during this chaotic time of year. Though you may not realize it, many holiday foods pose great danger to your four-legged companions. It may seem innocent enough to slip a few extra morsels of dinner or dessert under the table to a begging canine or feline friend, but even the most harmless-seeming meal scraps can sometimes be hazardous to pets. Here are some things to keep in mind when preparing for the many feasts of the holiday season. Candy can be deadly. Chocolate contains theobromine, a substance that can be toxic to pets. Dark, semi-sweet, and Baker's each contain high concentrates of theobromine, more than other chocolate varieties. But all chocolate can be lethal to pets if ingested, so be sure to keep the candy bowls and snack trays well out of your pet's reach. Leftovers may be dangerous. Fatty leftovers like meat drippings and bones can cause internal injury, upset stomachs, diarrhea, or vomiting, and may lead to pancreatitis and obesity. Be sure to keep your friends and family informed and in check before they begin doling out unwanted scraps beneath the dinner table. Bones are bad. Although bones from our holiday birds look good to pets, they are dangerous and can cause intestinal upset and may even splinter once chewed, becoming lodged dangerously in your pet's throat or in the process of being ingested, creating serious intestinal problems. Hold the fruit and veggies. It seems perfectly logical that because they are good for us, fruits and vegetables are good for pets. And that's true, partly. Some fruits and vegetables, however, are actually toxic to pets. In terms of vegetables, keep an eye out for garlic, onions, leeks, scallions, chives, and shallots, dropping from the dinner table as they are highly toxic to dogs and cats and can be fatal in severe cases. As for fruits, grapes and raisins are the culprits you'll most need to keep an eye on, as they too can be harmful to pets. Watch the packaging. Packaging can cause choking or intestinal blockage when ingested. Foil wrappers can become as dangerous as razors when swallowed, so keep a special eye out for wrapped foods and excessive packaging lying about your home. And careful with the caffeine. While you may often need that extra caffeinated boost to keep you going during this exhausting time of year, your pets do not. In fact, many products on the market with large amounts of caffeine and caffeine-like stimulants are toxic to pets. Be sure to steer your cats and dogs clear of anything containing caffeine around your house, such as coffee, tea, energy drinks, caffeine pills, and soft drinks. Need more information? If you have any more questions about keeping your pets safe and healthy during the holidays, feel free to contact your local veterinarian or browse our Pet Health Resource Library, our Nutrition and Behavior Centers, or take a look at our Holiday Pet Behavior Survival Guide for dogs and cats. You can find all that and more on the Banfield Pet Hospital website at banfield.com. Well, here's a personal story. Once I had a kitten who used to climb under the bed and claw, no, shred, the underside of my box mattress at night while I was trying to sleep, right in the center where I couldn't reach her to get her out of there. At Vet Street, Michael Becker has advice for a similar complaint. Can I stop my cat from scratching my sofa? A reader says my cat likes to hide under our couch and claw at the underside of it. It's driving me crazy. Can I get him to stop? Becker responds, you absolutely can teach your cat to not use your furniture as a scratching post. But before we delve into the specifics of how to change your cat's behavior, let's start by talking about why he may be doing this in the first place. Since cats often scratch to shed their outer nail sheaths, regular nail trims might help reduce the scratching. But there could be something more serious going on. Retreating beneath the sofa could indicate that your cat isn't feeling well, either physically or emotionally. A cat who is fearful, anxious, or stressed may take shelter under a couch or bed to escape an upsetting situation. For example, a new baby or a new pet in the home. And cats will often mask pain or illness, so your cat may be hiding because he's sick or injured. In either case, the first step in dealing with the behavior is to schedule a visit to the veterinarian to determine if your cat is suffering from an undiagnosed medical condition, is in some type of physical discomfort, or if he's anxious or stressed about something in his environment. Your vet may also refer you to a veterinary behaviorist for extra help as needed. Redirect the scratching. Once your cat has a clean bill of health, you can start to address the behavior. The goal is to redirect your cat's scratching away from the furniture to something more cat-friendly, like a designated scratching post. Cats will frequently scratch furniture because they lack acceptable replacement activities and spaces that suit their tastes. Teaching your feline to stay clear of the furniture will require providing cat-specific spaces that are more desirable than the area under your couch. Create resting in place spaces that cater to your cat's preferences, including spaces where he can sleep, hide, and survey his surroundings. Burrow beds, tunnels, cat trees, especially those with covered areas, and den spaces allow your cat to watch the action in your home or escape from it if needed. Tunnels and boxes also provide spaces to play or just chill. Your cat's crate or carrier can also serve as a quiet resting place when he wants to be alone. Offer your cat scratching posts in a variety of materials. Some cats prefer carpet-covered posts to sisal, for instance, while others like corrugated cardboard best. If your cat really enjoys lying on his back while clawing and pawing, consider a covered bed or a box made of sturdy, claw-worthy material like corrugated cardboard. A scratching post should be sturdy and able to support your cat's weight as he digs, scratches, and paws at the surface. Many cats like to get a full stretch and prefer posts that allow them to extend their limbs fully while clawing. Consider scratching posts that offer both horizontal and vertical options for scratching and stretching. Your cat may enjoy a horizontal scratching post, especially if he's already scratching horizontal spaces. Teach your cat to love his scratching post. To help deter your cat from scratching your furniture, place his scratching post near your couch. This makes it easier to distract him from off-limits spaces and redirect him to more appropriate surfaces. At the same time, teach your cat to associate your couch with activities other than scratching. Feed him his meals near the couch and spray pheromone spray in the space to encourage him to rub the area with his facial scent glands. This can help decrease his desire to use visual markings to make others aware of his presence. You can also invite him to snuggle with you on the sofa and reward him for sitting peacefully. Encourage your cat to explore the cat trees and scratching posts with lures of toys, catnip, and treats. Channel his excess energy and scratching toward other acceptable activities as well, including food, puzzles, and toys, particularly toys compatible with solo play when he's alone. Reward your cat for using his cat-specific spaces with petting, play, treats, and praise. You may need to use a temporary barrier to prevent your cat from utilizing the space beneath the couch as his hideaway. Citrus scents, double-sided tape, and overturned floor mats with the prickly side facing upward can serve as potential deterrents as needed. But before you block his access to the sofa, be sure he has adequate replacement spaces where he can safely get away and hang out. Also from Banfield Pet Hospital, your dog or cat needs exercise to successfully manage his weight. The number of overweight and obese pets has ballooned in the United States, affecting approximately 1 in 3 dogs and cats in 2016. The most successful approach for keeping your pet's weight under control includes restricting calories and increasing activity. Exercise for dogs and cats is just as important as providing a balanced calorie-controlled diet for safe weight loss. However, before starting any exercise program, check with your veterinarian because, like their human owners, one exercise program does not fit all dogs and cats. There are certain conditions such as heart disease, arthritis, joint injuries, and respiratory disease that may limit your pet's ability to exercise. In addition, the exercise program should be tailored to your individual pet and should take breed, age, health, and lifestyle into account. Your veterinarian can assist with creating a custom weight loss plan for your dog or cat. Here's some tips for creating an exercise plan for your pet. Start slowly and then gradually increase the amount of exercise. Your pet needs to rebuild muscle and stamina and can't go from being inactive to running a 10-minute mile overnight. Bring a water bottle when exercising. You'll also want to make sure that your pet has plenty of access to water and avoid exercising in the heat of the day. as dogs and cats are susceptible to heat stroke, just like their human counterparts. Designate a specific time for exercise. If possible, exercise your pet during the coolness of early morning or evening. You'll also want to avoid exercising your pet directly after a meal. Waiting at least a full hour can help to prevent vomiting or any other complications. Check your pet for fleas, ticks, and possible injuries after exercising. And it can take time for your pet's paws to toughen up enough to run or walk on concrete or rocks, so soft surfaces like grass or a dirt trail are ideal to start on. Suggestions regarding exercise for dogs. Take a walk around the neighborhood. It's a good first activity for a dog that has been inactive for a long time. Walking has less impact on the joints, unlike running or playing fetch. Go for a swim. Swimming exercises the muscles without impact and can be a good option for dogs with arthritis. And play fetch. Bear in mind that this is a higher impact activity than walking or swimming. Suggestions regarding exercise for cats. Play with a favorite toy with your cat. A fishing rod toy or motorized unit are good choices, or try using a toy on a string to initiate play behavior. Use a laser pointer. Many cats will chase the dot made by a laser pointer. And use food toys. Offer part of their meal through a food toy to increase activity while eating. Consider also physical therapy as exercise. Dogs and cats can also benefit from physical therapy. This can include underwater treadmills and range of motion exercises. Talk to your veterinarian to determine if physical therapy is right for your pet. And log your pet's exercise to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Keeping your dog or cat healthy is a great reason to get out and exercise with them. Keep a log of your pet's exercise routine and review your progress with your veterinarian. They can help assist with any appropriate changes in diet, behavior, or exercise. And now, Pets on the Naughty List, our favorite stories of holiday mishaps. From Kim Campbell Thornton at Vet Street. Stacy Nordstrom Hackett vividly remembers her Cornish Rex cat, Jordan's first Christmas. He climbed halfway up our Christmas tree, grabbed the garland in his mouth, and jumped out of the tree and took off running with the garland in his mouth. The decorated tree followed him across the living room and halfway down the hall, says Nordstrom Hackett, before he let go of the garland and hid under the bed. If you're a pet owner, Nordstrom Hackett's story probably sounds familiar. What would the holidays be without stolen treats, an episode of Manger Danger, or a not-so-festive trip to the pet ER? We've gathered some of our favorite funny, sweet, and yes, cautionary pet holiday tales to make your Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Festivus, or winter solstice celebration just a little brighter. And maybe a little safer, too. Holiday dangers. Seasonal treats are a hallmark of the holidays, and not surprisingly, our pets want in on the festive goodies. Even professionals can be fooled. Dog trainer Michael Becker has fallen victim to multiple sneaky snacking pets over the years. Scooter, the family's wire-haired fox terrier, once devoured an entire holiday sampler tray of fruit covered in white chocolate. Thankfully, Becker says there were no medical repercussions, although there was an upset tummy. Unlike dark and milk chocolate, white chocolate contains less significant amounts of theobromine and caffeine, the substances that can give dogs and less commonly cats the runs or cause vomiting, rapid heartbeat, and seizures. Just a few of the signs of chocolate overdose. So it's less likely but not impossible to result in toxicity. That said, overindulging in white chocolate can still lead to gastrointestinal upset, and the food's high fat content can contribute to pancreatitis. If your pet eats any type of chocolate, it's still best to contact your veterinarian or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Hotline at 1-888 1-888-426-4435 immediately. 1-888-426-4435. More recently, Becker's pug, Bruce, has carried on the family canine tradition of food thievery. My best friend came to my house during the holiday season with a turkey sausage in her purse, Becker says. Bruce smelled it, and while we weren't looking, he dug into her purse and ate the entire thing. These days, when guests come to call, Becker greets them by asking if they have food in their bags, just to be on the safe side. Cats also like to get into the holiday spirit, but not necessarily by being the life of the party. And often, our cats seem to know exactly where they belong, and even if they don't exactly fit in. During the holidays, Debbie Phillips Donaldson's cat, Deacon, likes to sleep right in the middle of the family's manger set, because every stable needs a cat, right? I think Deacon is mainly attracted by the cheap fake snow blankets of white felt, Phillips Donaldson says. Even when they're being naughty, our pets bring us smiles and laughter. One of Palika's most heartwarming moments came the year she fostered a litter of 5 kittens after Thanksgiving. Still younger than 8 weeks, they were small and timid. Palika had set up a live Christmas tree in her living room. The phone rang and she left the room to take the call. When she returned, her 3 dogs were sitting in front of the tree staring. Palika noticed that the branches were moving. She sat down to watch too. The 5 tiny kittens may have been scared and skinny, but they had a great time in that tree, Palika says. They climbed up and down all around inside the branches. Every once in a while, a tiny black face with bright eyes would peek out. While there are some serious potential dangers in letting kittens climb in the Christmas tree, they could fall and hurt themselves, chew on electric cords, or ingest ornaments or tinsel. This moment of supervised mischief brought the kittens and Palika so much joy. It was my Christmas present to them, Palika says. And vice versa, I'm sure. That will do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks for listening. Please join me next time, and don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.